Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
But you say, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarion Styles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarion can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, no, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
I love learning foreign languages. In fact, I love it so much that I like to learn a new language every 2 years, currently working on my 8th one. When people find out about me, they always ask me, how do you do that? What's your secret? And to be honest, for many years, my answer would be, I don't know, I simply love learning languages. But people were never happy with that answer. They wanted to know why they are spending years trying to learn even one language, never achieving fluency, and here I come, learning one language after another. They wanted to know the secret of polyglots, people who speak a lot of languages. And that made me wonder too, how do actually other polyglots do it? What do we have in common? And what is it that enables us to learn languages so much faster than other people? I decided to meet other people like me and find it out. The best place to meet a lot of polyglots is an event where hundreds of language lovers meet in one place to practice their languages. There are several of such polyglot events organized all around the world, and so I decided to go there and ask polyglots about the methods that they use. And so I met Benny from Ireland, who told me that his method is to start speaking from day one. He learns a few phrases from a travel phrasebook and goes to meet native speakers and starts having conversations with them right away. He doesn't mind making even 200 mistakes a day because that's how he learns, based on the feedback. And the best thing is, he doesn't even need to travel a lot today because you can easily have conversations with native speakers from the comfort of your living room using websites. I also met Lucas from Brazil, who had a really interesting method to learn Russian. He simply added 100 random Russian speakers on Skype as friends. And then he opened a chat window with one of them and wrote hi in Russian. And the person replied, hi, how are you? Lucas copied this and put it into a text window with another person. And the person replied, I'm fine, thank you, and how are you? Lucas copied this back to the first person, and in this way, he had two strangers have a conversation with each other without knowing about it. And soon he would start typing himself because he had so many of these conversations that he figured out how the Russian conversation usually starts. What an ingenious method, right? And then I met polyglots who always start by imitating sounds of the language, and others who always learn the 500 most frequent words of the language, and yet others who always start by reading about the grammar. If I asked 100 different polyglots, I heard 100 different approaches to learning languages. Everybody seems to have a unique way how they learn a language, and yet we all come to the same result of speaking several languages fluently. And as I was listening to these polyglots telling me about their methods, it suddenly dawned on me. The one thing we all have in common is that we simply found ways how to enjoy the language learning process. All of these polyglots were talking about language learning as if it was great fun. You should have seen their faces when they were showing me their colorful grammar charts and their carefully handmade flashcards and their statistics about learning vocabulary using apps, or even how they love to cook based on recipes in a foreign language. all of them use different methods, but they always make sure it's something that they personally enjoy. I realized that this is actually how I learn languages myself. When I was learning Spanish, I was bored with the text in the textbook. I mean, who wants to read about Jose asking about the directions to the train station, right? I wanted to read Harry Potter instead, because that was my favorite book as a child, and I had read it many times. So I got the Spanish translation of Harry Potter and started reading, and sure enough, I didn't understand almost anything at the beginning. But I kept on reading because I loved the book, and by the end of the book, I was able to follow it almost without any problems. And the same thing happened when I was learning German. I decided to watch Friends, my favorite sitcom, in German. And again, at the beginning, it was all just gibberish. I didn't know where one word finished and another one started. But I kept on watching every day because it's Friends. I can watch it in any language. I love it so much. And after the second or third season, seriously, the dialogue started to make sense. I only realized this after meeting other polyglots. We are no geniuses, and we have no shortcut to learning languages. We simply found ways how to enjoy the process, how to turn language learning from a boring school subject into a pleasant activity which you don't mind doing every day. If you don't like writing words down on paper, you can always type them in an app. If you don't like listening to boring textbook material, find interesting content on YouTube or in podcasts for any language. If you're a more introverted person and you can't imagine speaking to native speakers right away, you can apply the method of self-talk. You can talk to yourself in the comfort of your room, describing your plans for the weekend, how your day has been, or even take a random picture from your phone and describe the picture to your imaginary friend. This is how polyglots learn languages. And the best news is, it's available to anyone who's willing to take the learning into their own hands. So meeting other polyglots helped me realize that it is really crucial to find enjoyment in the process of learning languages, but also that joy in itself is not enough. If you want to achieve fluency in a foreign language, you'll also need to apply three more principles. First of all, you'll need effective methods. If you try to memorize a list of words for a test tomorrow, the words will be stored in your short-term memory and you'll forget them after a few days. If you, however, want to keep words long-term, you need to revise them in the course of a few days repeatedly using the so-called spaced repetition. You can use apps which are based on this system, such as Anki or Memrise, or you can write lists of words in a notebook using the gold list method, which is also very popular with many polyglots. If you're not sure which methods are effective and what is available out there, just check out polyglots' YouTube channels and websites and get inspiration from them. If it works for them, it will most probably work for you too. The third principle to follow is to create a system in your learning. We're all very busy and no one really has time to learn a language today. But we can create that time if we just plan a bit ahead. Can you wake up 15 minutes earlier than you normally do? Well, that would be the perfect time to revise some vocabulary. Can you listen to a podcast on your way to work while driving? Well, that would be great to get some listening experience. There are so many things we can do without even planning that extra time, such as listening to podcasts on our way to work or doing our household chores. The important thing is to create a plan in the learning. I will practice speaking every Tuesday and Thursday with a friend for 20 minutes. I will listen to a YouTube video while having breakfast. If you create a system in your learning, you don't need to find that extra time because it will become a part of your everyday life. And finally, if you want to learn a language fluently, you need also a bit of patience. It's not possible to learn a language within 2 months, but it's definitely possible to make a visible improvement in 2 months if you learn in small chunks every day in a way which you enjoy. And there is nothing that motivates us more than our own success. I vividly remember the moment when I understood the first joke in German when watching Friends. I was so happy and motivated that I just kept on watching that day two more episodes. And as I kept watching, I had more and more of those moments of understanding, these little victories. And step by step, I got to a level where I could use the language freely and fluently to express anything. And this is a wonderful feeling. I can't get enough of that feeling, and that's why I learn a language every 2 years. So this is the whole polyglot secret. Find effective methods which you can use systematically over the period of some time in a way which you enjoy. And this is how polyglots learn languages within months, not years. Now, some of you may be thinking, that's all very nice to enjoy language learning, but isn't the real secret that you polyglots are just super talented and most of us aren't? Well, there's one thing I haven't told you about Benny and Lucas. Benny had 11 years of Irish Gaelic and 5 years of German at school. Couldn't speak them at all when graduating. Up to the age of 21, he thought he didn't have the language gene and he could not speak another language. Then he started to look for his way of learning languages, which was speaking to native speakers and getting feedback from them. And today, Benny can easily have a conversation in 10 languages. Lucas tried to learn English at school for 10 years. He was one of the worst students in class. His friends even made fun of him and gave him a Russian textbook as a joke because they thought he would never learn that language or any language. And then Lucas started to experiment with methods, looking for his own way to learn. For example, by having Skype chat conversations with strangers. And after just 10 years, Lucas is able to speak 11 languages fluently. Does that sound like a miracle? Well, I see such miracles every single day. As a language mentor, I help people learn languages by themselves. And I see this every day. People struggled with language learning for 5, 10, even 20 years. And then they suddenly take the learning into their own hands, start using materials which they enjoy, more effective methods, or they start tracking their learning so that they can appreciate their own progress. And that's when suddenly they magically find the language talent that they were missing all their lives. So if you've also tried to learn a language and you gave up thinking it's too difficult or you don't have the language talent, give it another try. Maybe you're also just one enjoyable method away from learning that language fluently. Maybe you're just one method away from becoming a polyglot. Thank you.
How many words are there in the English language? Good morning, good afternoon, or of course even good evening, depending on where in the world you happen to be right now. I'm Julian, and this is Doing English. Yesterday we answered the question, which language has the most words? And we said it was English. But how many words are in the English language? This, unfortunately, is an incredibly difficult question to answer. You see, it depends on how we count a word. For example, eat and ate. Is it one word or two words? Are they the same? Eat and ate? Well, in one sense, ate is simply the past form of eat. But the word is spelt different, it's pronounced different, it has a different meaning. Therefore, surely it should be a different word. Well, how about eat and eats? Or eat and eaten? Or how about eating? Are these all the same word? Or are they different words? Again, they're similar, but they do have different meanings, and they are pronounced differently. But at the same time, they have the same root word, eat. Do we count them as one, in which case it's one word? Or do we count them as five, in which case it's five words? Clearly, how we decide to count words like this is going to make a massive difference to the number of words that we count in the English language. And for this reason, basically nobody is agreed on this. There's a fantastic discussion on this in the book Vocabulary in Language Teaching by Norbert Schmidt. And he writes that estimates vary from somewhere between about 400,000 and 2 million. Again, depending on how you count the words and depending on who is doing the counting. 400,000 to 2 million. That is a massive difference. We generally accept that there's about 250,000 words in common use. Again, depending on how you count them, and again, depending on who is doing the counting. The problem, again, is we don't really know how to count these words. But Generally, an accepted figure is about 250,000 words in common use and about 1 million words in the language. I will say, however, that it's also estimated that a native speaker who has graduated university at about the point of graduating university only actually knows about 10% of the words in common use. So if there is about 25,000 words in common use, then the average native speaker at the point of graduating university will know about 25,000 words, a very tiny percentage. So to answer the question, probably about 1 million, but about 250,000 in common use, but about 25,000 that people actually know and use. And the words that they actually use on a daily basis is much, much smaller than that as well. But yeah, about 1 million is a good estimate, I think. If you liked today's video, go ahead, give it a thumbs up. If you didn't like today's video, give it a thumbs down. Do take a second to subscribe to this channel, and I will see you, my friend, in tomorrow's video. Same time as always, 5 p.m. JST, which worked out at about 8 a.m. GMT. Thank you, and goodbye.
Hello, this is Jack from tofluency.com. Now, in today's lesson, you're going to learn how many words you need to know to be able to speak English with confidence. So, I'm going to give you a breakdown on this, and then also to go over some key points to consider, because it's not just about the words you know, but it's also how you use them. Now, this video is sponsored by iTalki. And iTalki is a platform where you can find your own teacher online. All you have to do to register is click the link in the description, find the teacher that's right for you, schedule a lesson, and then connect online using something like Google Hangouts or Zoom. And right now, they are offering people who watch my channel $10 off their first lesson. Now, like I've said in this video, it's not just about the words you use, but how you use them. So when you learn a new word, it's a good idea to practice. And it's a good idea to find a teacher who can give you feedback on the mistakes you make. So definitely go check out iTalki. There's a link in the description. And get $10 off your first lesson. Okay, so let's now talk about how many words you need to know in order to speak English with confidence. And while researching this, I found two fantastic articles that broke this down. So I'm going to share what they found, and I'll leave a link to those articles in the description. So the first article broke it down in this way, that if you know 1 to 3,000 words, then this means you are conversational. If you know 3 to 10,000, this makes you advanced. And then 10,000 plus, you are a native, or you have the ability to speak like a native. So just before we talk more about this, it is important that you know words in English. This is an important part of being able to speak English, because obviously, if you don't know words, you can't say anything. You can't express yourself. If you know a few words, but you're thinking, there's a better word for this, what is it? Then you can't express yourself freely. So knowing words is important. And I like this breakdown, because what it's saying is, after 1,000 words, it means you can have conversations in English. And you know this, like, there is a point when you start learning English and you know enough words that you can have good conversations in English. But I imagine a lot of you don't want to just be able to have conversations. You want to be able to speak well. So we're looking at between 3 and 10,000 words here. to be able to have an advanced level of English. And then once you have over 10,000 words, then this is when you can start speaking more like a native speaker with a very advanced level. So that is one way to look at it, okay? The next way is this, and I love this one because I talk about levels in this way. So if you know 2,000 words, then you have a B1 level of English, okay? A B1 level. If you want to test your level, I made a video on this a few years ago now, but click the link in the description to learn about A1, A2, B1, B2, C1, and C2. But very briefly, a B1 is like a lower intermediate level, where you can have conversations with people, but you're constantly thinking about grammar. It's not very natural. You can't understand what people say in natural situations. And you can only talk about a small amount of topics. So you can't talk about complex things. And that makes sense if you know 2,000 words. Now, a C1 level. This is the level that I think most people who are learning English should aim for. A C1 level. Now, C2 is where you are very close to being native, where you make no mistakes, you know every word, your accent is perfect, etc. Or every word you need to know. That's kind of like this. So 8,000 words is just below that native level. Both of these make sense to me. But a C1 level is something that you should aim for. It's a great goal to have. Most students I talk to are between A2 and B2. High beginner, high intermediate. But once you get to the C1 level, then things are just so much easier. You can understand most things you listen to. You can understand TV shows. You can have great conversations with people. You can write well. You can read novels in English. You're not perfect. You still make mistakes. You're still learning. But you've reached the level where things are just so much easier. And to have this level, what they're saying is you need to know 8,000 words. 8,000 words. Okay? So this is a good level to get to. Now, to learn vocabulary, I recommend that you listen to things, you read new books, and you also do a little bit of dedicated practice for words. But be sure to learn new words through sentences, okay? And this is my To Fluency method. This is what I teach inside my program. Learn more about that in the description. But I want to go through 4 tips here, because this is going to help you become more efficient and it's going to help you learn new words. Okay, number 1, mail drop versus want. What does that mean? Mail drop versus want. This is highlighting that some words are more important than other ones. Want, to want. You're going to use this a lot when you speak English. So it's saying that this is more important than this. Now, you can do your own research and find out what mail drop means. I'm not going to say it in this lesson, but feel free to leave an example of mail drop below. But again, this just highlights that high frequently used words are important. So focus on those ones. Focus on the types of words that people use in everyday English. Because if you learn 3,000 words that nobody uses anymore, then it's not important. But if you learn 500 words that people use every day, then that's going to make a big difference. So, high frequently used words. Number 2, learn words through sentences. I can't highlight how important this is enough, because it's okay learning a word, but you need to know how to use that word within a context of a sentence. This is grammar. This is how you learn grammar. You repeat sentences and you internalize the different patterns, the different grammar rules. You're not studying rules. Instead, you're internalizing the rules so it feels natural to you. And you need to do this for all types of words. It's really going to make a big difference. So learn through sentences. Check out the Tifluency Method to get the full program on this. 80-20, tip number three. 80-20, focus on the words that you need to know. Not just the high frequency, frequently used words, but also the words that you're going to use. For example, let's say that your job is in the world of real estate and you need to talk to people in English about houses. It's important that you learn new words that are specific to real estate and that you learn those words through sentences. This just makes sense. That you're going to learn the type of English that you need to know for your specific situation. Okay, so be smart about it. Also, passive versus active. When you're learning a new word, think about whether this is passive or active. Active means words that you're going to use. Passive means that words that you're not going to use, but it's good to know to understand. A good example of passive vocabulary is slang. So slang that is specific to a certain type of group of people, for example. People in Northern England have specific slang that they use. If you are interacting with people from Northern England, like me, then it's a good idea to be able to know the types of words and the slang that they use. But you don't need to say it. You don't need to use it. And you can think of lots of examples of passive vocabulary, like the type of vocabulary that people use if they are a judge. You don't say these things, but it's good to know if you're watching TV shows based on this subject. So, I think this is a really good thing to think about. How many words you need to know to get to a C1 level? I think this one is the most important statistic here. 8,000 C1, but focus on words that are important, that people use. Learn them as part of a sentence. Get the Tifluency program to do that. 80-20, the Pareto principle. Focus on things that are going to make a difference, words that you need to know. And then think about active versus passive vocabulary and what you do to learn those two things. Okay, so if you've enjoyed this lesson, then please like and share it. Be sure to get my book, The 5-Step Plan for English Fluency. If you don't have it already, you can download that for free. Check out my Tifluency program in the description. Subscribe if you are new, and please leave me a comment below telling me what you think about this lesson. And try and estimate how many words you know. I think that'll be fun to read. So leave a comment telling me how many words you know in English. Thanks again for watching. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, welcome to my channel. I know you are struggling to learn new words in English or in any language. I know how it feels when in a day you hear like dozens of new words, they come into your brain and then they just get wiped away and you never use them again. I've learned 3 foreign languages and I know how it feels. So today, I'm going to talk about methods that are going to help you memorize the words. And actually with these methods, you can learn thousands of new words in a day. So if you're interested, please continue watching this video. Method number one. When you learn a new word, make sure that you've learned all of the forms of it. For example, there are some words in English that can be used both as a noun, which is an object, as a verb, which is an action. For example, milk. Yes, milk is a drink, comes from a cow, but to milk is actually a verb and it means to get milk out of a cow. So to milk. Seems obvious and you've already known the word milk, but yay, there's another meaning. So many words like that. The most obvious ones are, for example, love, hope, kiss, drive, work, and there are many, many more. So you learn one word, but you actually learn two words. Number two, there are words that end with T A-M-B-I-T-I-O-N, for example, ambition. Guess what? In many languages, especially across Europe and maybe South America, they might sound completely the same. For example, ambition, Spanish, ambición. Correct me if I'm wrong, I've never learned Spanish, but I'm trying for you guys. I know there are a lot of Spanish speakers watching. Ambición in German, ambizione in Italian. Basically, these words are gonna sound pretty much the same. Other words that I can use, motivation, motivación, motivación, motivazione, dissertation, profession, portion, intonation, convention, sanction, and many, many, many other words. Write down the list of them, they're all gonna be the same. So the trick is, all the words that end with T-I-O-N in English are gonna sound pretty much the same in your language. Number three, oh my god, is my favorite. Whenever you learn a new word, Google it first and go to the images section. You know why? Because sometimes you're gonna see pictures that are gonna remind you of characters or things you've seen before and you've named before, and they're just the same as the word that you're learning. For example, spear, which is a weapon. Hello, Britney Spears has the same last name, and I've actually used the word spear like thousands of times in my life because I love Britney Spears. Another word is beetle, and beetle is the small bug that can bite you, that flies, whatever, a beetle. And the first thing that comes to my mind and that Google will show you is new Beetle car by Volkswagen. The car, the small nice car, you know, there was this computer game when I was like 10 years old and you ran away from like police in Chicago. So they always used Volkswagen new Beetle. And yes, hello, I've been using this word for like hundreds of times in my life. Another great example is Gosling. And Gosling is a baby goose. And yes, Ryan Gosling, hello, Ryan baby goose. You will remember this forever. Method number four. What you need to remember is that words in English have several meanings, and those meanings can be completely different. So make sure you learn at least two or three of those meanings. For example, the word to fire. To fire means to let somebody go. For example, an employee.
You're fired.
At the same time, the noun fire, you know, flames, all of that. If we talk about a word date, so to date means to go out with a loved one or with a person you really fancy, then a date itself is a date itself is an action when you go out with somebody you love. Date is also this fruit or a berry, whatever. They sell a lot of them, like a fig, a date. And there is another meaning. A date can be a day in a calendar. Again, you have like this word, but you actually have four different words. Another example is to miss. And to miss means miss a bus. When you lost the bus, it is gone. When you miss somebody, you really long to see them, and miss is a girl, so Miss Marina Mogilko, for example. Number five, one of the easiest ones, because there are so many words that sound pretty much the same in every single language, and you don't even need to translate or adjust them or whatever, you just pronounce them in an American way, or pronounce them in a British way, whatever you want to sound. For example, aquarium. In Russian it's aquarium, in German it's aquarium. In French, I don't know, aquarium? I don't know, but you got what I mean. Other great examples are antidepressant, avocado, caramel, cocktail, scandal, organism. And I can go on, and that would be like hundreds of words that sound exactly the same as in many other languages. Another very important...
Are you recording?
Yes. Another very important rule when it comes to learning new words is having this safety net, and this is the way I define 100 most commonly used words in the English language. And if you know, I have released a video about those 100 words. If you know those 100 words, you actually know 50% of all written English, and those words include I, me, her, female, government, and there are hundreds of those. Please watch the video if you haven't watched it yet, and please write down all of those words, and they're gonna be really useful for you because you're gonna feel safer, you're gonna feel more relaxed when you have them because they just help you form your speech. Rule number seven. Sometimes words that we know, and that might sound pretty easy, can form different expressions. Like, for example, nuts. Nuts are things that we eat, but you can also say, are you nuts? Are you nuts? This doesn't mean are you like this thing that you can eat, This means, have you gone crazy? There are so many expressions like that in English. So again, when you're learning a new word, make sure you know everything that is connected with it, whether it has other forms, whether it has other meanings, or maybe it is used in a completely different way in a different expression. Another great example, I feel blue. It doesn't mean that I feel like a blue color, it means I feel sad.
How's that feel, blue?
An expression that you should learn is I'm all ears, which means I'm listening carefully.
Well then, I am all ears.
This is how we go to the next method. When you really like a phrase or a word or anything, try to use it straight away. For example, if you're enjoying watching this video, if you think that things that I say make sense, you can comment below, Marina, I was all ears while I was watching your video, or just Marina, I'm all ears, which means for me that you liked the content, which means that you were listening attentively, maybe writing things down. So you're writing a comment, but you are actually practicing and you're making your brain train with this new word, you're making it memorize it even more. And my last advice, yes, we've talked about a lot of words that sound the same in many languages, but there are also false friends. I was really, really embarrassed when I was using eventually in German, there's a word that sounds like eventuell, and I thought it has the same meaning as in English. So for example, in English, eventually means in the end. In German, eventuell means perhaps. So it's just a completely different meaning. And there is the same thing with the word actual. So actual in English means current. And there is the word actual, I'm sorry for my pronunciation, actual in Spanish. And in Spanish it means real, not current. Be aware of those false friends. Just double check anything you say. But at least when you're learning, when you're in the middle of a class, make sure to double check. It never, never hurts. All right, these were the methods that would help you accelerate in learning a language, that will help you learn hundreds and thousands of new words a day. Please let me know if you like this video. I'm looking for your comment. I was all yours, Marina. Like it. If you enjoyed the content, do not forget to subscribe to my channel. The button will be below. I hope to see you in the next videos. Bye!
Okay, this is an introductory podcast. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I had to let the music go out. The power of vocabulary. Now, let me read off some statistics here, and then, because we want to tie in vocabulary, has a direct impact on everybody's life, including creating opportunities and solving problems, including solving, so what do you call it, social problems. Anyway, there are, in the English language, give or take, 1,022,000 words. The Oxford English Dictionary contains 171,476 words. Native English speakers have a vocabulary, you know, this is different from person to person, anywhere from 20 to 30,000 words. In everyday language, English speakers use anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 words. To be an advanced or fluent in a language, you need to have a vocabulary of anywhere from 4,000 to 10,000 words. And let's say a law dictionary, give or take which one you're using, has about 55,000 words. Now, let's review these stats. The English language has, like, once again, give or take, 1,022,000 words. the average person that speaks English and no other language that listens to this podcast has an average vocabulary, a native speaker, of anywhere from 20,000 to 30,000 words. That's not even 1% of the available words in language. I mean, excuse me, in English. So this is where we want to get into using, building your vocabulary, because really the way I see it, you take Kamala Harris, Vice President, Barack Obama, former President, Michelle Obama, former First Lady. It's highly unlikely that you're going to see them in handcuffs and going off to jail. Why? They are law literate, and they're different types of literacies out here, but the typical legal dictionary, and there are legal dictionaries free online now. You can go to your public library there. It's a free resource, typically. Typically, there are about 55,000 words in a legal dictionary. Typically, when people get into legal problems, they contact a lawyer. Why? Because essentially, lawyers have a vocabulary that anybody can build up that same vocabulary, but they haven't thought about doing it. So you'll get a piece of paper, there'll be words on it, and you don't know the vocabulary. And lawyers, they have that vocabulary. Like, say, the typical law dictionary has 55,000 words. Now, that doesn't mean that the typical lawyer knows all of those 55,000 words, but more than likely they know more legal words than you do, more legal terms, words, and concepts. So we're going to structure something where the power of vocabulary, and then break it down to what can be done to solve some social problems, and also create opportunities or recognize opportunities by just increasing your vocabulary. All right, I'm gonna give you one little simple assignment. And let's start off with the legal dictionary. Matter of fact, Malcolm X, while he was incarcerated, he read the dictionary, just a regular dictionary. He learned those words. And he never went back in. Do the same thing with a law dictionary. Go online, look up a law, one of the legal dictionaries, Black's Law Dictionary or others, and start learning a certain amount of words each day, even if it's just one or two. And then you're going to, I imagine pretty soon you're going to start seeing opportunities that have been staring you in the face the whole time, but you didn't recognize it until you increased your law literacy or your law vocabulary. On that note, everybody.